I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up, what up?
Happy Friday before a long weekend. A little bit foggy out there, Curtis.
Oh, very foggy.
If anyone cares, I don't know what that's about. It's going to clear up later, though, right?
Yeah, it's going to burn right off. Today's okay. Going to be a doozy.
Well, this is it. Summer's over, but we got one weekend to enjoy it, and we're here for the next 4 hours with a lot to talk about. Courtney during the feed. Let you hear what Christian Gonzalez had to say yesterday, and that is getting somewhat interesting. I guess we, based on the insiders, who the Substackers, who are speaking at Free Random, there appears to be some frustration or a fracture, perhaps, between the two sides.
Oh, really?
But I mean, that.
I thought the T's were almost crossed and the I's were dotted,
I thought they were too. That's what Tommy Curran told us.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that ends up going. I don't know what ends up happening. And I give Christian Gonzalez credit. He apparently said he stands behind everything that his trainer said, and his trainer is apparently speaking for him. So if you happen to run into him over Labor Day weekend, you can take everything he says as being directly from the mouth of Christian Gonzalez.
Not bad.
Where do you stand on the Tom Curran? Like, I find the Tom Curran component to this to be fascinating, because since the beginning, he has been so steadfast in saying that Christian Gonzalez will not hold out. And to me, I haven't talked to Tom Curran in a while. I get along with him well.
Yeah.
I don't know if I do anymore. But it seems like the organization is using him to play chicken.
But correct me if I'm wrong, they've done that for quite some time, right? I mean, that's generally how he gets his scoops.
It would be so obvious. Like, that's why I'm hesitant. Like, be a little more subtle if that's what's going on. Like, he was on with Jones and Keith yesterday, and he's like, he's not Logan Mankins. There's no chance. Like, to me.
Meaning that the player Christian Gonzalez just won't hold out. Like, he's that kind of a guy, is what you're saying. What he's saying.
He's insinuating that no matter what Gonzalez or his camp is saying or threatening the team with, there's no chance there's any value behind those words.
Okay.
Because, so why not just say, like, you know what, we're in talks, things again, my whole I'm preparing like I'm going to play.
Why doesn't
Gonzalez just go, you know, my focus is on the game, you know, when the contract gets done, hopefully it gets done soon, but my focus is clearly on week one and playing.
I mean, if he says that, I guess his agent or his team would tell him that he is alleviating some of the leverage that he might have.
At this point, the leverage kind of thing, the leverage situation is, if you know what the number is you're asking for, right? Christian Gonzalez, and he's let them know. Don't you believe he's let the Patriots know?
Yes.
I think the leverage point is,
well, if he's not going to move, then that's the leverage.
Like, right, but if he tells them, like, this is what I want, and if he says, my focus is on playing, they're not going to go, ooh, We're gonna lower that number. You know what I mean?
But like Elliot Wolf, when he spoke to media, and it was Tommy Curran who asked the question, like, "Do you know what Christian wants, and does he know what the team, what the franchise is willing to give him?" And Elliot Wolf said, "Yes.
Yeah.
He's trying to do what's best for him. We're trying to do what's best for us. If neither side is going to budge, you're not going to see this guy week one." And I think that's why Christian Gonzalez, right now, when asked about it yesterday or in the past, he said, "I'm focused on practice today." What else is he gonna say?
I mean, when you say that to me, I just feel like, you know, we're less, like we've talked about, less than a week away. And if you're still like, you know, he didn't seem like he was anywhere confident that a deal was going to get done. That just tells me that I would think he's not going to play.
Well, I will say this. The leverage, if he doesn't play, the leverage goes all to one side based on what happens on Wednesday night. So if you're able to win that football game without him out there, then that is leverage New England Patriots. And if you're unable to do that, then that is leverage Christian Gonzalez. But I am interested what you think about that, and we will get to it this morning. We'll be joined by Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots, in about 20 minutes on a Patriots Friday. And we will get to talk to Robert Splain at 8:30 this morning. And the Patriots...
Captain Splain.
Captain. Yes, that's captain to you. And a couple practices. I believe they're going to practice Saturday, Sunday, and Monday before they head off to begin the NFL season, which cannot get here quick enough. Did you watch the Sox last night, Curtis?
Oh, did I ever.
But a very exciting finish to that game. I was... let's see, what was I chewing on? Probably my fingernails. And
zucchini pasta looked good.
I mean, apparently we need to talk about Adley Rutschman more on this show, because
right.
A couple jacks from him.
Yep. He was listening.
A couple jacks from him. Another Roman candle went off, and that's two.
Halfway there?
If you're keeping track. So, and Sogard with a homer last night. And so... but it was a little nerve wracking there, when Chapman decided to deliver the two run homer. So, but I,
conversation
know.
Now switches back to great move by Bresbaut and getting Rutschman. That's conversation.
And I said yesterday, I didn't believe Craig. Craig was right.
I mean, that's kind of how this works with you.
That's kind of how the conversation doesn't work necessarily like that. You can stay true to your opinion. But, well, you know, a great win for them.
Stay true to your opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, nice win down there.
Yeah.
And it's a four-game series, so.
I'm just grateful that I can never criticize it, so I'm right. I thought it was a great deal at the time, and I still think it's a great deal.
That's what
time.
I'm saying.
There you go.
Stick to that, man. Two Die on that runs. Hill.
Two bombs. You got a standing ovation, then boom, two home runs later.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. It was a by the way, what happened to UMass?
Ooh. Oh, my God, Wiggy.
I watched that whole second half.
It's unbelievable. We gotta give a little credit to our guy Jake Fire, mm-hmm. who's still on that coaching staff out there.
Great job. That Pop Watson looked really good. The kid from Springfield Central. I mean, good job by
also,
them.
Also, what was worse, UMass's firework display last season or Rutgers last night?
Oh,
because
man.
Rutgers last night was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was nuts.
You lose that game and after paying UMass to play them.
And I think UMass had lost like 17 or 18 in a row.
16 in a row.
16 in a row. Now, Billy O'Brien and BC play Rutgers.
That was my first thing I thought of, though. Like, people are like, oh, that's awesome for you. It's not really, because now the pressure's on for BC.
Awful.
Yeah.
It's not good at all.
But it's a Friday night game. It's Wells Crowther, red bandana game.
They have an extra 2 days to prepare, and they have to sit in that disastrous loss.
The first game of the season. I mean, you can't, go crazy if you're, BC or if you're anybody. We saw that with Gerard Mayo, and we saw that last year with Mike Vrabel.
We saw that with maybe North Carolina in Ireland against TCU.
Yeah, so...
Wiggy's sons went right into the portal so they could transfer back.
Right.
That was a great win for them.
Yeah, no, big win for UMass.
So.
And some interesting goings on when it comes to UNC and Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi. And I will get to all of that at some point on this morning's show, but... there are things going on or were going on that apparently should not be going on at any sort of a college athletic facility. I guess I would say it that way if the reporting is accurate. So
bring us closer to an answer on the biggest unsolved mystery in the history of Boston sports?
I mean, I don't know if it will or not, but one can guess that the two may be tied in at some point.
I cannot wait.
Some direction.
The shortest lived victory lap in the history of sports.
All right. Well, Leeds coming up. We'll see if we can get some of those in before we are joined at 6:30 by the head coach of the New England Patriots, Mike Vrabel. And then they said it at 7:15. That includes what Adley Rutschman said last night, and it includes what one U.S. Open player said about the influencers getting in the way of the lobs throughout the U.S. Open, and then the news with Courtney at 8, which includes an incident of spicy enchilada rage, which led to gun violence in New Mexico. And Hill notes, obviously, to end the show at 9:30 on the Friday before a long weekend. We will be back in 2 minutes, no longer, and get leads going on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Red Sox with a win last night at Camden Yards, and Roman Anthony with the insurance dong last night, Curtis, and the winner for the Boston Red Sox.
What a huge hit.
You can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We're going to talk to Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots, coming up in just about 15 minutes at 6:30. And that will be the last time we talk to Coach before they head to Seattle and get ready for the season opener on Wednesday night. But, Chime, let's get going with as many leads as we can right now.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Chime, that is from arguably the greatest rock band in the history of rock and roll, and that is Led Zeppelin, Avi, and When the Levee Breaks. And leads today are brought to you by Subaru of New England. Wherever life takes you, trust Subaru to get you there safely. Don't miss the Subaru of New England all-wheel drive away event. Go to SubaruofNewEngland.com. Good morning and hello, Shime.
Hey, Greg, good morning. So we played Micah Parsons' audio talking about how he thinks Joe Burrow is like the best quarterback in football the other day. Yes. On They Said It. And you told me my opinion only counts for so much he plays the game, right? So his opinion matters more?
Well, I was parroting what my friend, my good friend, the coach always says.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, his opinion matters.
Cool. Yes. Okay. So I, you know, that's great. And so, the NFL top 100 list came out, and that list is voted on by players, mm-hmm. not by, media, not by idiots like me, that just, you know, sit back and watch film and tell you they think they know everything. Nope. It's voted on by the players. And, would you like to guess, where Drake May ranks in terms of quarterbacks? He's number 11 in total on the list. Would you like to know where he is in terms of quarterbacks, Greg?
I would guess that he is fourth or fifth.
He is third. You should have stuck with your gut. He is only behind Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford on this list. He's ahead of the likes of Patrick Mahomes. He's way ahead of the likes of Joe Burrow. So I just wanted to point out the fact that, you know, Micah Parsons has his opinion, but the rest of the league, the other players that voted on his top 100 list, would beg to differ. Joe Burrow came in at 44, by the way. So, you know, my vendetta against him, yeah, I don't think is unfounded.
You have an irrational
hate. He's overrated.
You have an irrational hate for Joe Burrow. I don't know where it comes from.
Hasn't even played in a playoff game in 3 years.
Where do they have him amongst, because you said this top 100, right?
Yep.
Where does he rank amongst the quarterbacks?
Joe Burrow?
Yes, because you said 44.
So Sam Darnold is 4, Dak Prescott 5, Justin Herbert 6, Joe Burrow would come in at number 7.
So wait a second, this is voted on the players?
Yep, by the players.
Them players some dummies.
They say that Sam Darnold's a better quarterback than Joe Burrow?
Oh, I'm sorry, I also forgot Justin, Patrick Mahomes in there, so Joe Burrow would be 9 or 8.
So wait, Sam Darnold, Justin Herbert, and Dak Prescott ahead of Joe Burrow?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
That list is fraudulent. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I told you, sometimes players, you know, we see it every day with Dan Orlowski. Just because you played the game don't mean you can't say stupid stuff.
Agreed.
Where do they rank Gonzo?
I believe Gonzo was ranked in the, hold on, let me find it, 28th overall, top 30.
Mm.
Okay.
Who's ahead of him? When it comes to corners.
In terms of corners, I believe it's just Derek Stingley and Pat Sertan.
Yeah.
All right.
Double check.
Oh, so he's ahead of Witherspoon.
Yes. Are we sure he's better than Devin Witherspoon?
All right. Thank you, Shime. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. for all the people that have been inundating my timeline since the week one huge win in Ireland, celebrating the return of the hoodie, I just would like you all to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you got so mad at Robert Kraft for being honest with Arthur Blank and telling him how dysfunction follows Bill Belichick, no matter where he goes, in the absence of one man. What you have right now in North Carolina is the beginning of a gigantic scandal with drug use on the facility, with sex, with players, with coaching staff. WRAL came, was an hour away from print. And all of a sudden, Michael Lombardi, the hand-picked, highest-paid general manager in college football, the 33rd NFL team moron, quit and said, okay, I don't need to be on paid leave anymore. I'm going to just give up my gig. Michael Lombardi is, was, and will always be a boob. But he has one thing that Bill Belichick loves, loyalty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He will do whatever he says. He will be his lapdog. When Bill Belichick left here, he didn't talk to the quarterback, he didn't talk to the coordinator, he didn't talk to the owner. He literally did everything he could to ruin this franchise. Look at the drafts. Look at the roster that Gerard Mayo inherited. This, he didn't talk to Gerard Mayo, the defensive coordinator, enraged at Gerard Mayo for going behind his back and seeking his job, which is the exact thing Bill Belichick did to Bill Parcells before he retired and quit on a cocktail napkin.
Well, and if what is being reported is accurate, his loyalty to his son may be his undoing. I mean, if you, if Steve Belichick is at the facility doing drugs, giving drugs to at least one player, while, as Curtis pointed out, there's apparently all kinds of absolute out-of-control animal sex going on all over the place, then that is going to, I think the whole thing can stand to tarnish Bill's legacy. Yeah.
The drug thing, and definitely. The sex thing is kind of like...
Well, this, you don't care about sex.
I mean, it's two consenting adults.
That's what I was going to say. This was also going to be my lead, Curtis,
you
made you made great points. I also, like, the main part of my lead was this was more damning for Bill Belichick than it was Mike Lombardi.
Oh,
like, 100%. When I read through that, it's like, okay, so Mike Lombardi oversees the recruiting staff, and yes, maybe there was a staff member who's been engaging in consensual sex with a player. Like, I'm sure it happens all the time. Okay, Mike Lombardi should have put a stop to it or whatever. Or there are certain staff members engaging in sexual activity with each other. The most damning part about this is that he is a Bill Belichick guy, and that Bill Belichick's son was the more damning part of this article. And I hope that Steve is okay. I hope that he is healthy. Obviously, he's on medical leave right now.
He'll be fine. He's just dealing with a bad case of the sniffleitis.
Oh, God.
But
that's what it doesn't that isn't that the direction that it looks like when you think medical leave and then there's this.
I just hope he's getting, if he needs help, I hope he's getting the help that he needs.
Probably that's what he's doing right now, right?
Greg's 100% right. This is going to fall on Bill Belichick, and this could be what tarnishes his reputation.
Nobody in college football was going to come within a mile of hiring Michael Lombardi to be the GM. Bill Belichick made him the highest paid GM in college football.
Yeah.
But so you can't talk about judgment. I mean, Bill, great defensive coach. You saw it against TCU. Brilliant. And for those who say he didn't do that to Bill Parcells, he quit. He signed a contract to be the coach in waiting for Bill Parcells with the Jets when he was fired by the Browns and then left here when Parcells left in 96.
Well, I'll tell you what. So they're doing this whole legal investigation, outside law firm investigating what was going on down there. And there's a bigger problem looming for Bill Belichick, which is that if Bill is fired for cause, no money coming his way when it comes to the $30 million that he was given or the $50 million that he was given with a three-year guarantee. So that could be the intention of the university is to say, see you later, Bill, if they want to part with him and they don't want to pay him. So, all right, more lead. Curtis, thank you. Excellent, excellent lead this morning. Courtney with the assist. We are going to talk to Mike Vrabel, head coach of the New England Patriots, coming up next. It is a Patriots Friday, and the head coach of the New England Patriots is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 7 New England locations. Learn more at northeastmenshealth.com. Also brought to you by findmassmoney.gov. Search and claim your unclaimed funds, and by Rocky's Ace Hardware. Good morning, Mike Vrabel.
Good morning, Low T. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, and I hope yesterday's practice was not Low T. I know you got one in, and you said in advance you were looking for speed. So did you get it yesterday from the guys?
I mean, we got a little bit of it. We got off to a good start. Again, I think we have to realize how good teams practice without pads, and you have to be able to learn how to do that. You go through training camp and you have pads on, and then all of a sudden the pads come off. You know, only 14 times during the season can we have pads. And so we have to learn how to practice with speed without collisions. And you know, I do think that takes some practice. I do. And, you know, we don't want it to be a jog through. There's certain times where we'll be that pace, but we also have to be able to get the timing and the precision that's required. And so I do think that that'll be a work in progress as we move along.
What is, if any, what's the update on Travion? I'm assuming he's day to day.
We're all day to day.
Mike, when you look at this game and you're obviously putting together your game plan, you know, you're dealing with some guys that might be, you know, dealing with injuries and not sure if they're going to play. Obviously, the Christian Gonzalez situation is looming. How do you prepare game plan-wise with guys that you might not be 100% sure if they're going to be there for you Wednesday night?
I think we just go by what we see each and every day. And then if something changes, we are able to adjust and, you know, try to adapt and be flexible.
Mike, when you look at the biggest differences between this year's team and the team that lost the Super Bowl, what is the biggest difference in a positive way and in a negative way?
I mean, we're the guys that are back. We were another year experienced in what we want to do and how we want to do it. And you said, what's the negative? I'm not sure what the other part of it was.
Yeah, just what is there a negative? Like, you've brought up the depth of this year's team. Is there any negative that's a difference between this year's team and last?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I don't think last year we had some deep team. We just didn't have injuries. So, you know, we'll keep working with everybody and keep building this thing and just look at what we have to do each and every day to improve and, you know, identify guys that are trying to improve and give them opportunities and then, you know, kind of go from there and see what the next guy can do.
Mike, you know, we follow training camp every day, and we're always looking for what stories are going on down there positionally-wise. The one area that I feel like has been relatively good for you guys all training camp long, at least from where I'm sitting, I'm not there and be able to see you guys out on the field every day, is the offensive line. It seems like guys have, you know, from what I hear, have done a great job. How do you feel about how your offensive line has looked heading into week one?
Well, it's a critical position. I mean, it's the lifeblood of the offense, and I would say that any good offense has a good offensive line. And, you know, we'll keep working and trying to get those guys to work as the best unit. But I think that's something that we'll always keep striving for is to find the best unit and put those guys together so that they can operate in the run game, that can protect the quarterback, that anything that we call or have the ability to call, they can execute.
Speaking of positionally, I love giving you the chance to clear things up that are burped out into the ether. Adam Schefter had floated this notion that this week that you prioritize D linemen and getting pressure over corners. Is that accurate?
Listen, I love defensive football players, and I don't want to sit there and say I value one over the other. I don't. You know what I mean? I think that you have to affect a quarterback, and I've said this numerous and multiple times. There's multiple ways to do it. You can rush him. You can be able to, you know, whatever we have to do, whether that's the coverage, to intercept the football, to have pass breakups, to tip the ball at the line of scrimmage and have somebody intercept it, to whether you're playing man coverage or, you know, zone coverage and reroute. Like, at the end of the day, we have to identify guys that can affect the quarterback, and that's either through the pass rush or guys in coverage that can take guys away or turn the ball over, intercept it, ball production, linebackers, and people that can hammer the football out and create turnovers. That's what wins. And so anybody on our defense that can do those things, that's what I value.
With regard to Christian, your longtime teammate Rodney Harrison says that if this deal doesn't get done, it sends a bad message to free agents about coming to play here. Any concern on your part about that?
I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. We've seen that, you know. So, again, I think that we've been able to identify guys and bring them in that want to be here. That's the most important thing. You're not going to please everybody in this business. But, you know, I mean, the guys that we've tried to target and bring in, you know, in free agency we have, and then we have to continue to draft good football players and develop them and then retain them.
Has the Gonzalez contractual negotiation been a distraction at all?
Hey, what did make you chime in late? Everybody else asked three questions. What, you go to the bathroom?
I have to get a thumbs up from Greg, Mike. Well, it's like this very prolonged process where I have to send him my question in triplicate, and then he gets it back to me.
Mike, he's gone from sitting next to you.
That's a tough way to go through life right there, man.
It really is.
Refer to Greg Hill.
Please. If you need an intern, I'll be happy to come down and print out some copies for you. Has it been a distraction for you, Mike?
Right in between me and Stretch.
I would love that. I feel like we'd get along great. We could watch some college football on Saturday. Has it been a distraction, Mike, at all for you or the team?
What's been a distraction?
Christian Gonzalez, the number one storyline surrounding your team this entire training camp, whether or not the organization will give him an extension. Has that been a distraction at all for you or the players?
Well, I mean, it's not whether the team is going to give somebody an extension. I mean, it's about coming to an agreement. So let me just say that at first. But no, I mean, when Christian was rehabbing, he was where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. Talked about his professionalism. I can't speak for the rest of the team and how they feel. From a coaching staff standpoint, it's, hey, this is who's available each day. Then we go about making a practice plan, or, hey, this is what the reps are going to be this day. We deal with all different kinds of things each and every day about who's available and who's not available. And so I can only speak for myself, and it hasn't been a distraction. I've tried to coach everybody that's here each and every day.
Do you have two game plans set up in the event that he's not playing Wednesday night in Seattle?
We will have multiple, obviously, game plans based on what the down and distance is, what their personnel they're in, how the game may unfold. I mean, we have to be flexible and be willing and ready to adjust, and you know that'll never change.
Has the relationship between the player and the team been fractured at all during this?
And when you say team, who are you referring to? Me?
The organization. Well, I guess I should separate.
That'd be good.
The player and the Crafts and yourself and Elliot.
Well, I don't think you can include all those. Just ask them about this. My relationship with me and Christian.
Has it become fractured at all?
Nope, not for me. I hope not. I coach him. I talk to him, communicate with him. So that's the only relationship that I can speak on. And I've said how much respect I have for Christian as a player and as a person. I've gotten to know him over the years that I've been here. So that's the only relationship that I can speak on is the one that I'm personally involved in.
Let me flip to something that's different. Have you been following the discussion on the use of the Gillette video boards during opposing team field goal attempts during the Belichick tenure? And what do you make of that?
You know, I Stacy told me that he came up with that idea a long time ago, and I thought it was just genius.
I mean, it seems like it's fine. There's no.
You should see the look on Stacy's face right now in my office.
Shaking his head. Staying on hot topics right now, did you ever consider going after Dejan Love for this Patriots team?
Who, Courtney?
Dejan Love. Dejan Love, 49ers, number 7. He's a receiver, really a talented man.
Does not follow that kind of.
Yes, he does.
No, he does not. He's got his busy coaching.
Yeah.
You're telling me you don't know who Dejan Love is?
I don't know who Dejan Love is.
Good. I'm glad. That's comforting that you don't.
Mike, you talked about your edge position a little bit. You got some young guys there. Obviously, Ponder's coming into his second year. You got a couple rookies behind them. What have you liked about that group? When you kind of look at these players that you're going to have out there for you Wednesday night, what's really kind of jumped off the page for you from those guys?
I think just the daily consistency and improvement. I see an improvement from Gabe and Q when you reference in the younger guys. But the daily improvement, some veteran presence from Draymond and Elijah continues to be very consistent each and every day.
Mike, you've said that you guys need to be at your best going against this Seattle team. Playing on a Wednesday, what does that do for your prep for next week?
Well, today is a Tuesday, and then tomorrow then would be Wednesday.
But with the travel, come on.
What?
Well, with the travel and everything, like
you didn't even let me finish. Like, why are you guys already laughing? I don't laugh at your questions. Don't laugh at my answers.
Okay, fair.
I mean, and then we're going to travel out there Monday, which is like a Friday. So we'll just get out there a little early and do our walkthrough Tuesday, which would obviously be like a Saturday.
All right. I'll break that down for them afterwards so they understand the schedule. Yeah. Mike, when you start to just like one thing that you guys did well last year, and obviously every year is a new year, you guys played really good on the road. What's been your message this year? Knowing that, like you said, every season is its own season with you guys playing a very good team on the road and the importance of, focusing on that being a business trip.
Well, I mean, I think that we understand, the magnitude of it, the everything that's going to go around with it and the celebration of their championship. But we'll have to handle the environment. It's a great atmosphere, and we'll have to be at our best and do all the little things and find ways to gain an edge, with an opportunistic turnover or shortened field or a return, or those are just things that you have to do on the road against a very good football team to give yourselves a chance to win.
Seattle's one of the, for me, playing there is one of the loudest places in the NFL, I believe. Was there anything that you did differently in practice to kind of maybe get some of these guys used to that crowd noise that you're going to be dealing with Wednesday night in Seattle?
I mean, you can only turn the speakers up so loud, and, that's what we try to do and make sure that everybody is as focused and as poised on getting the call and their assignment and everything that they need to do to give ourselves a chance pre-snap. And then obviously going against an elite defense will be, harder than handling the crowd noise.
If you were turning these speakers up louder, what would be the three bands that you would choose to play on those speakers?
Richie plays the loudest, whatever plays the loudest through there. Like, usually heavy metal comes through pretty loud. I don't know.
I'm just trying to get that.
Probably Mike, Metallica.
Trying to get that Mike Rabel three favorite band question answered.
What about like hype song? Week.
I'm still working on that.
Yeah, like what do you listen to in your headphones on your way to the game?
usually just sit there and talk to the bus driver.
My man.
All right, Mike Vrabel, we thank you for taking.
You ever think about that? Like, these guys are like the opposing team's fans, and based on the contract that they have to wear our hat as they drive the bus. And you know, the second they drop us off, they just throw it in the trash. It's so, these guys are so, these people are the best. They're so nice, but they're like, I got to wear this stupid hat. I don't even like the Patriots, but I have to drive them.
You got the best stories though. Yeah. If you get good, if you get to talk.
Then there's the one guy who gets stuck on the bus talking to Wiggy the whole time.
No.
Wiggy won't stop talking.
I'm on the early bus number 3, and I'm in the back.
Oh, you're right.
He was back there. We used to make Wiggy sit in the bathroom.
I'm in the back of the bus.
It's all hot back there. Yeah.
Are you guys going to be on the field when they raise the banner, or is that before you guys get on there?
I don't know. They haven't given me. I would imagine that's before. I don't know what the timing is, but whenever they say it's time for the Patriots to go out to the field, we'll go out to the field. I don't know. I'm not sure of the timing of that. I don't even want to guess.
Were you able to get any information about the Seattle team from Tom Brady in advance in advance of Wednesday night?
No, I haven't got much from them.
All right, we'll let you get to work. We appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk to you again in a week.
Okay,
or so.
Guys.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, that is Mike Vrabel. We can unpack any nuggets from that when we get right back on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi. It is a Patriots Friday. We will talk with Robert Splaine coming up at 8:30 on this morning show, and we will get to They Said It in about 15 minutes at 7:15, and that includes what Adley Rushman said about going yard twice last night in his return to Camden Yards. Got a little nerve-wracking at the end of that game, Curtis. I'm not going to lie, last night. Abreu and White nearly screwed it up there. I mean, I, you know, played a little ball. It's the center fielder's call.
Yep.
You hear I got it. It's the center fielder telling you that he's got it.
They have right
got
away.
It. Anyway.
Were you a big right fielder in Stowe?
No. Catcher. Oh, my whole nice. Entire, my except for the when I had the Little League incident at second base where I wet myself during the game. Yeah. Other than that, it was a catcher. Unfortunately, guy named David Kubik was one of the better catchers in high school history, and so therefore I was always a backup.
Yeah,
kind of my life story. If I write a book, it'll be called "Always the Backup."
Well, is that why you're so limber now, getting into the catcher's stance?
Yes. When I need to get into the stance.
Just for the record, when I talk Sox, I was the starting catcher at the River School.
Yeah,
I outdid Grady O'Gara.
Now I see why there's a massive bromance between you and Jay.
Me and Jay are tight because of that. Yeah, we both have that in common.
A lot in common.
Both.
Battery mates.
Played a lot. Spent a lot of time behind the plate.
You try his gear on in the man town?
I just completely lobbed that at Curtis, and he didn't say anything.
No, he didn't.
I spent a lot of time behind the plate.
I don't have to. Oh. I don't have to criticize your physique when it doesn't warrant it.
All right, the race to the playoffs here at WEEI is brought to you by Cutwater Cocktails, real cocktails, perfectly mixed. Any nuggets from Mike Vrabel?
There was a bunch of golden nuggets in there, I felt like.
Greg's question about Christian Gonzalez and his relationship being fractured, and Mike asking him to specify who is it fractured with, and
right,
separating kind of Vrabel from Elliot Wolf and from the Crafts, to me was a massive nugget.
Huh.
He... Okay.
So maybe it is fractured between the player and ownership.
Ownership, yes. It seems like everything's fine between he and...
I think that they do that now. Spillane, whenever you ask anybody with this Vrabel team about someone else, they always make it clear they only answer for themselves.
Right. Yeah.
But the other thing that really stood out to me was the position question you asked.
Yeah, another great question.
Yeah, that was like two warming candles.
Because mine were just...
Absolute fastballs.
Yeah, the value of the...
But I don't know that he values the corner position as much as Christian Gonzalez would. Yeah.
I feel like he's going to go out of his way to make like what the game plan. He's not going to say they have to change everything. He's going to say whatever he can to mitigate what happened. But if you watch the film of the Super Bowl with the Seahawks, like... If they don't have Christian Gonzalez, they lose by 35 points. Like, yeah.
Right, but that's
that
like
clear.
That's like having Christian Gonzalez in the Super Bowl at 4 or 5 million, maybe even 15 million. I'm just throwing that number out there because I think next year's salary might be about 18 million is different than having Christian Gonzalez at 34, 35 million plus 100 million in guaranteed money. So maybe they feel like, oh, great player. And there are some organizations that look and say, great player, but not worth that type of money for the way we view it.
My scheme.
Yeah.
Just the way I, you know.
That's why I said if Christian Gonzalez was a defensive end and he was considered one of the top three defensive ends in the NFL, you don't think
he might be signed and done already.
But, if that was the case, why didn't they try to trade him for Max Crosby, who is a top-tier defensive end?
Maybe they thought that they were going to be able to, you know, once the Witherspoon thing was done, they were just going to go $1 million above, and maybe Christian Gonzalez is not.
But the rumor is they haven't gone $1 million above.
Well, maybe they
thought. How do you know, Curtis? You know, I have no idea what they've gone above. You have no idea.
Schefter says they're $10 million apart.
Yeah, and Tommy Curran says that they're dotting the I's and crossing the T's, so I don't know.
I just speaking for myself, if they were $1 million above all the guarantees for Devin Witherspoon, Christian Gonzalez is signed, sealed, delivered.
Well, maybe they thought, like, all right, he'll take the $95, $98 million we'll give him to say, all right, you're still one of the top three, top four corners in the league, but you're not the number one corner in the league, in their opinion, right? Yeah. And this is the conversation that we have with all the plays that you'll have with Drake May, right? You'll look and go, in their mind, they might say, you're one of the top seven, but we don't think you're the number one guy.
We're going to take a break. Friday before Labor Day. Chime, should we go all summer-related rejoins for the rest of the show this morning?
If you want to, it's kind of foggy out there, but I don't mind it.
No, but I mean, it's the final weekend of summer. This is it. Will you be taking requests on the DMs?
Sure.
Okay.
Always so just taking suggestions.
And you have that alternate Instagram now, which is @scheme. So if you want to DM Shime on the burner, it's just @scheme on Instagram. Maybe we'll celebrate the end of summer, commemorate the end of summer in that way. And we are back in 2 minutes, no longer, on the Greg Hill Show at WEEI.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.